All right. Welcome to episode 3 of the Stress of Smiles podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Frank Caputo, and today we're going to switch it up a little bit. In the Stress of Smiles, we talked a little bit about dentistry and burnout, but we have to know that it's not only in dentistry. Burnout's ubiquitous all over the place. I brought my friend Will to talk a little bit about burnout in other spaces. Will, you're in the financial sector in Toronto. Tell me a little bit about what your role is, what you do in your job.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me and looking forward to talking about burnout in something outside of dentistry because it's 100% there. I work in investment banking and I'm a VP for a team that covers real estate clients. And really, at a high level, investment banking is providing strategic advisory for companies that own real estate, whether it's retail, whether it's office, whether it's industrial, and helping them grow, buying buildings, selling buildings. And within all of that, there's a ton of work, demanding timelines, long hours, and so much more that can definitely add stress. So
So it's just
yeah,
like
go
the
ahead.
movies.
Times have changed since the late 90s or the early 2000s, but you're working hard, sometimes 80, 90 hours a week. You're dealing with all sorts of personalities, typically ones that don't have empathy or an understanding of emotions. And you're working around the clock for clients, right? It's a lot of work, it's a lot of hours. And the personality types it attracts, like I said, are those that don't really care about humanity. And it might sound like an extreme, but it's very binary. It's very get the work done. It's been an
Drive the
interesting ride.
profit, drive the returns, drive the profit, drive, all that stuff to so obviously that can take a pretty good toll on people.
Oh, for
What have you
sure.
seen, like, so in your industry, like, so you're in this office space and you go to work in these tall buildings all the time, and it's like everyone's got their computer there and they're ready to rock and plug in. I mean, you said 80, 90 hours a week for a lot of people. I mean, what have you seen the signs and symptoms of, like, what you see in your office with, like, burnout?
Yeah, I think that the best place to start would be, how did I experience burnout in my job? I've been doing this for, the greater of 6 years. And early on in my career, I didn't notice I was burning out. I didn't notice I was stressed. I didn't notice I was anxious. Looking back, all the signs were there. I'd say that the signs were, anywhere from poor eating habits, so, either not eating or overeating. Not prioritizing sleep. If you're working, 7 days a week, you get home and the last thing you want to do is sleep because you've had no time, right? So, outlets like socializing late in the evening, partying, drinking, stuff like that were things that I used to do to cope with the stress. On top of that, you can develop a shorter attention span, less consideration for others. You can be incredibly moody and short, and you can be fatigued, right? Like general burnout is fatigue. It's not having, the ability to stay present and to stay focused. And for the majority of my career in high stress environments, I've struggled with that, and I think a lot of people do, right? So I'll see that along the floor. I'll see people shutting down, struggling, whether it's they're just focused on their work, they don't have time to socialize or connect, or they don't want to, quite frankly. That doesn't happen all the time, but yeah, I've seen a lot over the recent years, and the turnover rate is high as a result, right? Typically, people come into the job, especially at the junior level, and last, anywhere from 12 to 24 months and call it a day.
What do they do after that? Do they find a job that's not as stressful, or do they move on thinking their greener pastures out there, the grass will be greener, I'll just go to this firm or this investment banking group?
Yeah, they could do anything from jumping into a lower maintenance consulting role or continuing to evolve within the investment banking industry, Or making a complete switch, right? Like I knew people that went back to school and got into sciences or data analytics. It can be anything. The traditional route is spend a year or two in investment banking, transition into a private equity-based role, and carry on from there. So it's rare for people to spend a lot of time in investment banking, and the ones that do tend to craft the culture and the narrative of teams. And historically, the ones that stick around are not really focused on managing people and culture, and they're mostly focused on managing pipeline and profits. So
Yeah.
it's an interesting evolution.
The only parallel that I have, so my wife's in corporate America, in the
What's she
corporate
doing?
world as a she's a at this director level in marketing for a multi-billion-dollar company, and there's a lot of people surrounding her that they same thing, they're working crazy hours, they're logging in, essentially everybody's available or everyone's available all the time. Like, there's not a lot of boundaries set where it's like, I got an email, I gotta jump on it. It's not uncommon for it to be, 9 p.m. and it's like, oh, we have a quick fire drill, we gotta get this done, because we have this thing tomorrow and we thought it was ready, but now it's not ready. And it's like, it sounds like corporate Canada is very, very similar in a sense of like, I mean, business is business, no matter where you go, but just stressful, and it can lead to people just like crashing and burning. And that's what probably led us both to going through this, going through coaching programs. That's how Will and I met, is we're at the tail end of this coaching cohort together. That's how we met Z and Will, and there's others that I'll introduce you to, but Will and I have kind of, we're going through this program together with coaching, and it's kind of like you're forced to face your demons. Her coach, Stephanie, really helps us see what our brain wasn't able to see in the past, where dealing with your personal struggles, your childhood struggles, and all that stuff, and it's incredible. And seeing my evolution and seeing Will's evolution throughout this program, it's been a year. It's been insanity. And it's and I'm assuming crashing and burning or burning out led to you kind of looking at, how did you even come across? Didn't you do one thing before with her, but like coming across like, shit, I've even before this, when did you say like, I need some outside knowledge? I can't read this shit in a book.
Here we are.
No, I can't listen to a podcast to get all this shit.
Scratch that out.
Where do I go? So how did you end up leading to getting this into the transformation school?
Yeah, I think it's perfect for this podcast. It was burnout. I was working ungodly hours. I think there was a period of time I worked, 3 months every day straight. I was balancing a relationship, my family. It was through the holidays. I started having panic attacks, and I didn't know what panic attacks were. I didn't really have an idea about mental health. I remember I had dated someone in the past, and she had, a series of mental health issues, and I didn't really understand them. I always gave it time and space, but I was this resilient guy moving through life, doing what he wanted, and, not really feeling. I had this built-up level of stress and emotion that got me to a level of a panic attack. I thought I was going to die. And
Jeez.
it was, for those of you who have experienced panic attacks, I'm sure you can relate, although it might be different. But, the world felt like it was caving in and I didn't know what to do. And traditionally, when you think something's going wrong inside you, it's like, let's go to the hospital, like, let's talk Western medicine. Something must be wrong with my brain, my blood pressure, my body. It took panic attacks definitely led me to discovering this inner world of mental health and everything within that. Funny enough, it was my dad who recommended me to check out Stephanie. I was going through a definite tough time. He works in the dental space and he saw Stephanie on Instagram and said, "Hey, like, it looks like this person is doing a level of, nervous system reprogramming and regulation. It might be good for you. Take a look." I was like, "What the hell are you talking about? I don't need this right now." And I ended up registering, and yeah, it's been a whirlwind ever since. And I love this stuff. I'm not just in it for myself, I'm in it for others. And doing, call it a year of nervous system work, and then taking a little bit of time and jumping back into the course that we're in now, it's probably been the greater part of 3, 4 years that I've been really working on myself inward.
Is this like the best operating system that you're working off of right now that you've seen in your life or what?
Yeah.
I was thinking about
Do I
it in terms
have.
of like downloading a new software, and I'm like, when I see someone who's stressed and unregulated and unable to control or unable to regulate the emotions, I'm like, they must be on a different operating system or an earlier version. And am I on the latest? No, but I feel
Yeah.
like I'm on the right path. Do you
Yeah.
feel that way? Like you're at your best operating system?
It's a good comparison. My operating system is changing all the time. I could put a different chip in any day of the week. I definitely am not operating at an Intel i3 chip that was out 20 years ago. It's changing. I've got a chip, and there's software updates every couple weeks, right? So it's changing. I definitely have come a long way from where I'm at. And I think the beauty of doing this inner work is it's never ending, right? There's always going to be something that comes up. There's always going to be something for you to work around. And that's the beauty of it. That's also the challenge of it. And that keeps me coming back for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think the whole point around doing inner work, like we always kind of joke on our calls, like there's people who are like, well, I'm doing the work. And it's like, are you actually doing the work? And then it's like, I know I'm actually doing the work. And it's like, well, what does that even mean? And you got journaling, you got meditation, you got nervous system regulation. We have all these tools. And it's like, and then there's labels that we can put on freaking these tendencies and these old like default pathways that we had where it was like, oh, I automatically jump to that conclusion when I'm triggered by XYZ because of you find out it's like some freaking 7-year-old wired in program that you had from something that happened when you were seven. It never, you never caught yourself up. And it's like, that's why. But teasing through all that shit. Like, I know one of my bigger things was like people pleasing and like
Oh,
I had a
yeah.
strong tendency. And that's what dentistry, it infinitely became more stressful because I thought, oh my God, if I can please this person and I can make them like me. And that, which is in essence, Atil always said, in essence, that's manipulation. But if I can get you to like me, I will feel good about myself. So I need your external shit, your words, your actions, your hugs and happy tears, for the patient. I need that from you so I can feel valuable. And it's like, dude, that is so bass ackwards that that's not sustainable. That is the epitome of a recipe for burnout. So that was one of the things I teased out layer by layer through this program is like, oh, okay. One of your number one things is you're a people pleaser. And how do you navigate throughout life with being you and your authentic self versus like this chameleon of like, all right, how am I going to get Will to like me? Come on, Will. I can make it happen. It's like that's how I operated with patients for so long. It was like, how do I make you like me? Because if I know that happens, I've somehow found value. Have you saw anything similar people pleasing wise?
Oh, yeah. I mean, taking it back to my job, right? Like, you start this job and you're doing work for a team, right? And if you do a good job, you get assigned work, assignments, whatever it may be, and your entire worth and your credibility is based on how well you do and what your output is, right? So, and I'm sure that's the same in dentistry, right? If you do a good job working in someone's mouth, they're happy, they come back, and you have business. And my whole rationale at work was like, how can I do a good job to please my managers? And how does this translate into success for me? So it's funny as that sounds. I mean, there's a million corporate jobs that have that same structure. There's people that can do that in a healthy way, right? They're like, this is my job. I'm doing work. I'm aligned with the work. And then there's people like me where it's like, oh no, like I have to do a good job, otherwise I don't have a worth, right? Otherwise that I don't have value, and I'm gonna do my absolute best to impress so and so and do this in this way. Not to do a good job with my work, but to get the validation from that outcome.
Yeah, and
And
what you find is what happens.
yeah, you find it, and for me it was like I was still empty, right? I was doing all this people pleasing. I mean, we're talking about work. I do that in relationships historically, in friendships, all of these things. And the more I learn about people pleasing, the more frightening some of my actions are, but the more awareness I have of, developing my own identity and kind of getting out of that mindset where I need to get people to like me and I can just be myself, right? So, yeah, definitely a lot of fatigue, a lot of emptiness. And I'd say the biggest thing with people pleasing is, if somebody doesn't react in the way that you expect them to, you're not going to be happy, right? You might even be more clingy, do more and turn someone off more, do a bad job. It's just a cycle. And the break of the cycle is developing the awareness and realizing, like you and I doing work on reprogramming and stepping back and seeing where it all stems from.
Well, tell me if this is relatable. Like, I always found, like, when we started doing the work and we're getting deeper and deeper, the layers and layers, and finding out where you thought your value came from, it was like I didn't realize how exhausting it was. Besides trying to navigate through, like, doing complex surgery, managing, infinite amount of money, with investment banking in relation to real estate. Like, you're managing all this money. You've got people who you have who depend on you in your office to operate at a certain level. And all the while, you're even more fatigued from filtering out everyone's, I'm filtering every conversation in real time, thinking of ways to flip the conversation on you being pleased by me, and that will burn you. That will just like burn you out. And then with the worry, every time the phone rings, is someone upset? Because that's going to affect my worth. Is that person mad? Oh my God. And that is what gets to the end of be like your end of your rope, and you're exhausted, and you're just done. And I love how it's not just tied, I know in dentistry it's stressful. It's a hard job, but there's a lot of industries where stress is, I mean, I'm sure you've seen people quit drugs, gambling, hopefully not like harming themselves, but I'm sure it happens all the time in the financial sector because of the demanding hours. And if you've seen that.
I mean, people cope in different ways. I can't really speak to self-harm, but it's interesting seeing people, soothe with alcohol, partying, gambling, etc. I mean, these were things that I also did in a point in my life because I was there and I didn't know better and I didn't have the Intel processor I do now, right? Like, things change, and I think that the beauty of doing personal work is you can start to address this stuff because there's people that carry on their whole lives continuing these patterns and not looking inward and changing. And I don't neglect those people or look at them any differently. It's just the stage of life that I'm at right now. But
Yeah,
yeah, pleasing crazy.
I grew up in a like a second and third generation Italian family that came over here, when they were kids and they had nothing and they worked, and my grandfather was a farmer, and at first I was resistant to doing any type of inner work because I just would think of like someone going like, what do you mean you're, Sebastian Maniscalco has a funny bit on this. He's like, what do you mean you're stressed? You're stressed? He's like, you're feeling a little depressed, anxiety? Bro, he's like, my whole life is stressed. My whole life's depression. And it's like, you just
Amen,
gotta
amen.
deal with it. Just deal with it. What are you gonna do? You go to work. That's my whole family. Hardworking people. Like, They work. What are you going to do? Work. What aren't you going to relax or go on a trip? I got work. That's how everybody is. And it's like, people, I remember when we started this, it was like I was doing, I don't know if it was the intake form or first few conversations in this cohort. I was like, well, what do you like to do? Like, what makes you super happy to do? And I was like, work. And it was okay.
Work.
Like, what kind of hobbies? I'm like, learn about work when I'm not at work. Like, what do you do? I don't freaking know. And so you have to explore that. I think that's probably why we ended up doing like a little inner child like play date. Like, what makes you happy? I don't freaking know.
Oh, for sure. It's a crazy topic, and I can relate. I'm not Italian, but I have friends in the European mindset, and I don't want to generalize, but my best friend's Italian. I know the heritage that they come from. I've been in relationships with Eastern Europeans, and I've seen that. The work, 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 go, 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 and there's nothing else. There's no emotion. There's no time. And I mean, I'm sure every family and person is different, but yeah, I see that 100%. I mean, it's also crazy breaking out of that, right? And breaking out of those generational traditions, which I'm sure can be a lot for you to handle, especially socially with family and so on and so forth. But yeah,
Oh
it's
God.
the beauty is rediscovering what you like to do when you were a kid. Right, whether it was playing outside, sports, and you might not even know. It might be too far back. And like you said, doing those play dates and integrating with your inner child, it's like, okay, maybe I can start to have some hobbies outside of work, which seems crazy because, work was everything, right?
Absolutely. And for the reason I wanted to jump into this was something wasn't right. And then once you start, like I started coming up with all these other goals, I'm like, oh my God, excavating the dark side of your soul and coming into, I could be a better husband. I could be a better dad. I could show up better at work.
You could be a
Like,
better you, right?
well,
And
yeah, and it's
yeah.
like just how you show up. And I said it earlier, but when I met you at the beginning of this, and Z and everybody else in our little crew, like we are so different. And I finally, this like last, I don't know if you've gotten this yet. I'm sure you have, but I finally got like the you're different. Like, in almost like a negative connotation, like you're just, I don't know, you're different all of a sudden. And it's like, yes, eat, I am different. We're supposed to evolve. I was so pumped. And I don't know if you've gotten any of that or
Did
like
you get
feedback,
that
but
inside or did you get that like outside you
somebody was
or
saying that to me.
okay. Yeah, I'm pretty particular in how I act within certain settings. I mean, the most of my time is spent in a setting where I already have been materially different than people, so I'd say among my closest friends, yeah. Thankfully, they're super supportive of the work that I'm doing. But, there's one or two that are just like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, why are you acting like this? Why are you making boundaries? Like,
Oh,
this and
yeah.
that, right? It's like, what? Like, you're not down to hang out on Friday night when I know that you're not doing anything? And I'm like, yeah, like, I just want to record a podcast or read or do something
Dude.
else, right? It throws people off, man.
Well, and you do what you want to do. Like I just went to this dental implant conference, and I was like, before going in, I was like, all right, I'm going to be the architect of my conference. And guess what? That means it means I'm not gonna have like go to the meeting, come out of the meeting, go have dinner, pound 5 glasses of wine. Now, there's nothing wrong with going out. I love going out. There was a night I went out, I just had water and I just had a blast. I like dancing. I want to go out
Yeah.
dancing. I want to go out
It's good.
karaokeing. But like most of the time during this conference, I was like, all right, it's about 9 o'clock. I'm head up to bed, dude. And I'm gonna chill, wind down, and just it felt. I got home from the conference and I was not all anxious because I did what I wanted to do internally, and I wasn't people pleasing to try to, create these inauthentic connections with other people. And what I found, I ended up creating very meaningful connections with people and friends that I currently had, and meeting new people. And shit,
I know.
it was a whole different world. So.
It's cool, man. It's cool when you start being yourself and owning it and the connections and interactions that come with that, right? Because from my side, from your side, it's like I'm being myself. If somebody's into that, it's great, right? And it's real. Whereas, like, okay, like I people please this person, stayed out all night, said what they wanted to hear, they like me, whatever. Like, it's not the same, genuine attraction, connection, right? And I didn't realize what that felt really for the longest time. It's like being yourself and connecting with others on that frequency. It's a beautiful feeling for someone who struggles to kind of sit and be themselves all the time. So sounds like
Yeah.
you love to dance and do all that. Like, great. Fucking do that, you know? And you
Let's
can do that.
rock. That's right. Well, you may not think it's a big deal, or you might, but I appreciate you opening up, talking a little bit about this inner journey, this work. And not everyone's willing to do that. And to me, I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal. Of course, we're going to talk about some inner journey work and some, but like, that doesn't, people are pretty closed off about it. So I'm really glad we had this conversation
Yeah,
about
me too.
it's kind of like what we're doing and what's going on. And that burnout's ubiquitous all over the place. It's not just in
Yeah.
dentistry. I just really like how open you are, man. So
I appreciate the recognition.
I don't know how to do like show notes, but people are probably going to ask, like, well, there's hundreds and hundreds of coaching programs or whatever they might do, different styles, techniques. Why did you choose Stephanie's? I will link her stuff in the show notes.
Yep. No, shout
And
out to
then, yeah. And it's like, if that vibes with you and it seems like a really cool way to do it, do, shit, I'd recommend it 1,000%. But it's not for everyone, and some. It you just have to check in and see if that's going to be your program, a program that you'd enjoy. I can't speak highly enough about it, but so tomorrow you got to go to work. Another you
Yep.
got to put in another 90-hour week.
No. That's on the high tide. I'm low tide in the holiday season. I've got more time now. The 80, 90 hours, it comes typically early on in your career. I mean, I'm still young. I'm still early on in my long career, but I have some pull now. I'm not working the crazy hours I once was, thankfully, but it changes from time to time.
So you
I'll be
leave that
back at
with,
the desk.
you leave that for the noobs.
Yeah, I leave that for the
Get your ass to
noobs,
work.
but luckily, I give them a ton of attention and supervision because I don't want anyone to go through what I went through for that regard. So, yeah.
Well, and that even opened up some opportunities for you. I mean, aren't you like, look, you've been starting the process of doing some coaching for some younger professionals that were in a similar boat as you when you first started.
Yeah, I love that side of life, working with other people. And I think for me, the more I investigate myself and learn, the more I want to help and share with others. And it feels right. So, yeah, starting some coaching work on the side to really address what you were saying, right? Young professionals and their careers that were in the same boat that I was, right? And that
Does it have to
support
be in
that.
finance?
No, absolutely not.
I'm just
Yeah,
kidding. But, like, maybe they
let's
want to
get
be
coached by
coached
an
by.
idiot finance bro.
That's right.
It's there. There's availability for
Science,
all.
bro.
And I like this podcast does, right? I mean, to the extent you're expanding across different industries, jobs, lives, right? Like, we're all human. We all experience different things, and we experience similar things as well in different industries, different jobs, right? So coaching is beautiful. In the sense that,
Absolutely.
it's really about life and what within, and I just have a background and expertise in finance and that area, but my experience is my experience, right?
That's
Yeah,
right. Well,
absolutely.
it'll be very valuable. So, all right. We are going to end it there. I try to keep these bite-sized so you can hit them on your commute to work or home, and have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Thanks for taking the time, Will.
Thanks,
And
sir.
we'll be back with episode 4 soon. All right.
Bye.